You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Mark the second chapter. I want to kind of sum up tonight. We've been teaching a series on a passionate faith. And this is, I think, the sixth night that we've taught, Wednesday nights that we've been doing this. And we've been taking individual miracles or individual healings that took place in the Bible, where you have an individual and interaction and conversation went back and forth with Jesus and them, and just took it apart and examined it. What did they do? What did they say to get their miracle? What did Jesus do? What did Jesus say in the process? And I think there's something that of course, it's come through clear in this teaching, and we say it all the time, but people don't always realize it, is that your faith matters.
Yes.
Your faith matters. Now, we often think, well, you know, if God wants me to have it, He'll just give it to me. And if He doesn't want me to have it, then He won't give it to me. Well, that, you know, if that were the case, then the whole matter of prayer and faith would just be a moot point. I mean, why pray? God wants you to have it, you'll have it. I mean, what's the point of praying? What's the point of believing or reading your Bible or even coming to church? If God wants you to have it, you'll have it. And if He doesn't want you to have it, you won't have it. See, that completely takes you out of the process. And really, that is not what the Scripture teaches. The Scripture puts us in the process. It shows us our part to play. The very fact that we have Scripture, the very fact that we have the Bible, tells us there must be something that we're supposed to do, or else He would not give us instruction.
Amen.
So this, the fact that we have the Bible tells me that. If I knew nothing else, and I knew that the Bible is God's Word, He sent it to me, that alone tells me I must have responsibility. I must have obligations here. And He's given this to me so I can line up with it and so I can do my part. And this is what you do see in Matthew and Mark, Luke, John. And I know a lot of people say, well, I don't know. You know, God do whatever He wants to. I just believe in a God just does whatever He wants to. Well, that's fine. We can believe in any God we want to. I'm just talking about the God of the Bible. Are you with me? If you're going to believe the God of the Bible, then you're going to have to go to the Bible to see who He is and what He does. And when you make statements like that, well, God will do whatever He wants to, doesn't matter what you think or I think. Well, I mean, when you make statements, you have to back that up. Is that in the Scripture? Is that what God says? And when you get into the Scripture, you'll begin to realize that God gives us a lot of instruction, and He gives us a lot of examples.
Amen.
He doesn't just give us principle. He gives us also examples, precepts, and examples. And that's really a pretty solid, practical, you know, Bible-based doctrine. I think it comes down to this. You need the principle, what it says to do, and then you should be able to find an example or two in the Bible where people did it.
Yes.
Now you got a good solid doctrine. I mean, it's one thing to say, by stripes we're healed, pray one for another that you may be healed, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Those are all principles, a promise with a principle. But are there examples of that happening? Yes, there are. There are several. In fact, that's what we've been going over the last few weeks on Wednesday night. Individual cases. People who had names, people who did not have names. But people in particular that had particular sickness, ailments, and diseases, needs, and they met Jesus and they got their miracle. This series we've been calling it A Passionate Faith because it takes passion. It's passion that gets your miracle. It's passion that gets you to Jesus. It's passion that gets the answer to your prayers. That's common that you see in all these instances. We started out with Mark, the second chapter here, where it talks about the man let down through the roof that had four friends. Thank God for good friends.
Yeah.
Amen. That got him to Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. All these people, and you'll see this common thread here. I'm going to go briefly over just a scripture or two, not the whole story, to tie them together here tonight. And like I said, we're teaching on your faith matters. And that's what we see in common. But also we see in common just a boldness, a determination, a passion would not be denied. They're going to get to Jesus and they're going to get their miracle. When you get to that point in your life that I'm going to get to Jesus and I'm going to get my healing, or I'm going to get my miracle, or I'm going to get my answer, when you get there, you're on your road to success. You're on your road to victory. But if you're not there yet, you need to get there. Because you can't just throw a prayer up there. It doesn't work that way. It's passion. It's faith. It's absolutely, you know, you're not going to turn around. You're not going to turn the left or the right. You're going all the way. If you have to take the roof off, you're going to get to Jesus. And you're going to get what you came for. Here it says when they did take the roof off and let this man down through the roof, it says in the fifth verse, and this is the only verse I want to get to on this instance, says, when Jesus saw their faith, Y'all see that?
Yes.
When Jesus saw their faith. Now, I'm just picking a scripture out of each one of these, but if you're listening to this first time, this is our sixth teaching on this, and we took a whole session on just this instant and took it apart verse by verse. So I'm definitely not taking that out of context if you've heard all the series. He saw their faith. He saw what they did. Their faith caused them to get a miracle for their friend.
That's right.
He saw their faith. He saw their determination. He saw their passion. He saw their unwillingness to quit or give up to the point of even taking the roof off. If they couldn't get through the door, no problem. We're going to get to Jesus.
Amen.
Well, it's raining. Doesn't matter. We're going to get to Jesus.
Right.
Hello. Well, I'm having a bad day. No, we're going to get to Jesus. See, we're not going to be denied.
Yeah.
That's what gets miracles. Passion. A passionate faith. Not just a, I believe, but a passionate faith. That you put your effort into it. You put your faith into it. Your life into it. You're going to be persistent about this thing. You know, we're going after this and we're not going to quit till we get it.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
That's what you see. And so this is what happened with this man. He was completely healed and came off this bed of affliction and walked and in the presence of them all, and they glorified God. They'd never seen it on this fashion. But in this instance, you see this determination and this faith that these people have. Now, over in Mark, the fifth chapter, we talked about the one with the issue of blood. And we talked about Jairus and his daughter who was sick and eventually actually died. And Jesus had to raise her from the dead. I think that's interesting that it wasn't even over then. Even after she died. I mean, he didn't quit then. He just kept believing. In fact, that's what Jesus told him. He said, fear not, only believe. But this woman, we see in this case with the woman, she came and oppressed behind people, a throng of people. The Bible says the multitude thronged him. Okay? They just pressed upon him. Yet she came in through the press and grabbed a hold of his garment, and virtue or power came out of Jesus, and she felt in her body she was healed of her plague. For she said, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And Jesus turned around and said, who touched me? I think that's fascinating because everybody was touching him. And even it shocked the disciples because they even said, Lord, the whole multitude touched you. What do you mean, who touched you?
Yeah.
But see, the touch of faith is a different kind of faith.
Amen.
To just talk about Jesus is one thing. To really passionately believe and trust and go in and press in, that's the kind of faith that gets miracles.
Right.
Just an honorable mention doesn't get miracles. I mean, miracles come when you really on the lips of a believer, when you're really believing and trusting, passionately pressing in, that's when you get miracles. And that kind of touch is a different kind of touch. That gets God's attention. That gets His ear. And Jesus even sensed it, a different kind of touch. Think about it. It was the touch of faith. Well, the Bible tells us the woman feared and trembling, fell down, told him everything that, you know, told him everything. And Jesus said something amazing to her. Notice this, 5th chapter of Mark, 34th verse. He said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well.
Amen.
Your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Now, does faith matter?
Yes.
Well, evidently, because Jesus didn't say, daughter, I healed you. Now, He did heal her. We know that. The healing didn't come out of the ground. It came out of Him.
Yes.
Virtue of power came out of Him and healed her. He's the healer. But her faith made her well. Her faith connected with that healing. Her faith latched on to it. Hey, Jesus wanted to heal that man, came down through the roof. But I tell you what, it was their faith that broke the roof up and got him to Jesus.
Amen.
It's your faith that's going to get you to Jesus. A bold faith, a determined faith that tears the roof up if it's necessary, presses through the crowd if it's necessary. But nonetheless, a passionate faith will always get you to Jesus. And if you can get to Jesus, you can get your miracle.
That's good. Yes.
Amen? That's something that was common with all these people. They knew that if they could get to Jesus, they could get their miracle. Are we that sure? I wonder sometimes how confident we are. We might go to Jesus, but we're not so confident that we're going to get what we need when we get there. See, that's not the kind of faith that gets a healing. Well, we can get to Jesus, but we don't know if we'll get something when we get there. No, the kind of faith that gets a healing or gets a miracle or gets an answer to prayer is the Bible kind of faith, okay, with example after example, that really believes that if you get to Him, you will get what you want.
That's right.
You won't walk away the same way you walked in. You'll walk away with an answer. You'll walk away with a victory. You'll walk away with a healing or a miracle. That's the kind of faith that gets miracles and healings. Not the kind of faith that believes in Jesus. Of course, we believe in Jesus. A lot of people believed in Jesus. There was a whole multitude around Jesus that believed in Jesus. But somebody believed they could get a healing from Jesus. Woo, that's different. A lot of people believe in Jesus. They're going to heaven. They're saved. But you've got to believe you can get your miracle from Jesus. That you can get a healing from Him. That you can get an answer from Him. That He really is in the healing business, in a miracle-working business. It's not, you know, it's not gray here. It's very cut and dry, black and white. The Bible is very plain about this. We've got to get in there and trust God for whatever it is that we need. And what we believe matters. Faith matters. On Jesus' way to Jairus' house, the daughter that he was going to lay hands on and heal originally, because Jairus told Jesus, "Come to my house, lay your hands on my daughter, and she shall live." Are you with me? On his way, the daughter dies. On hearing this news, or this report, 26 verse, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, his daughter's dead. 36 verse, excuse me, yeah. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe." Everybody say, "Only believe."
Only believe.
Wow. So you got a man let down through the roof, Jesus seeing their faith. You have a woman being healed here, and Jesus said, "Woman, your faith hath made you whole." You have a man whose daughter is sick and subsequently dies, and Jesus turns to him when he hears it and says, "Fear not, only believe." And you know the story, goes into his house and raises that young girl from the dead. Hallelujah. And gets a miracle. Because he did not fear, because he did only believe. Does faith matter? It matters to Jesus. If it did not matter, he would not have said that. He wouldn't have said, "Only believe." In fact, he would have just said, "Don't worry about it. I'll handle it." Well, of course he's going to handle it, but he handles it through the man's faith.
Amen.
Of course Jesus is going to handle our problems. If we believe, he'll handle it through our faith. But if we quit to believing, he's not going to handle it.
That's right.
He told the man, he says, "Only believe. Only believe. Only believe." Now, turn over to Matthew. I'm seeing a pattern. How about you?
Yes, amen.
Matthew 9. Here's the instance, and we talked about this, the two blind men that came to Jesus, and of course they cried out to him, "To have mercy, Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus went into the house, and they just came right on in the house behind him. I mean, they just wouldn't quit. They just kept coming. You just got to keep a coming. Amen. Don't you quit. You keep coming. You keep coming. Well, I hadn't got it. You keep coming. Well, it hadn't happened. You keep coming. You keep pressing in. You go through the crowd if you have to. You take the roof off if you have to. You go right on in the house if you have to. Don't stop till you get what it is that you're wanting from Jesus. Now see, if God promises it, it is His will.
That's right.
Just get that out of your thinking. If He says it, it's His will.
Right.
Now, whether you go after it or not, I don't know. That's your choice. Whether I go after it or not, it's my choice. But it is God's will. It's God's will hereby be saved, isn't it?
Yeah.
But you've got to get to Jesus to get saved.
Yeah.
You've got to come to Him. You've got to call on Him.
Yeah.
You've got to believe and trust in Him. It's His will everybody be saved, but everybody's not saved. He wishes or wills that none should perish, but all should come to eternal life. But there's this thing called faith that separates us, as it were. Our faith connects us to God. Our doubt and unbelief separates us from Him. And so if you want to stay connected, sometimes you got to check those battery cables. They get a little corroded. Isn't that right? You got to knock the corrosion off of them. Doubt and unbelief, sometimes the world been watching way too much TV, not reading enough Bible.
Amen.
Uh-huh. You got to wash it with the water of the Word. You got to clean off that junk.
That's right.
Because what it does, it messes up the connection. The power source, the battery, is God. God's the power source. He's the energy. He's the healer and the healing. He's the Savior and the saving power. He is. And so we connect with these cables of faith, but we've got to make sure we've got a good connection. Amen? So in Matthew it says here, these two blind men came to Jesus, and man, they just went right on in the house. And isn't it amazing that Jesus says in the 28th verse, notice this. Now these instances we've gone over in great detail now over the last 6 weeks. So if you just got in on this, I'm not just skipping and jumping around. I'm actually summing up what we've taught on in detail. We gave a whole session to this. We gave a whole session to the woman with the issue of blood and Jairus' daughter. We gave a whole session to the man let down through the roof. A whole teaching was just on that alone, the whole sermon. Notice what it says here. Jesus said in the 28th verse, the latter part of the 28th verse, Jesus speaking to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" Does faith matter? Evidently, Jesus thought so. Because really, in a lot of churches, and we're pro-church, thank God for churches. Don't go out here and blast people with what I'm saying, and I'm not against churches that don't believe exactly like we do. Are you with me? And when we get to heaven, they'll all find out we're right. We know that. Okay. God bless these churches, so don't take this wrong, and don't take this as a weapon to go out and separate. We want to unite, not divide, but we do want to help people. And here, Jesus was trying to help these men by asking this question, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" If that did not matter, Jesus would not have said that. If what you believe or don't believe hasn't got a thing in the world what God does, then I sure can't. I'm not reading my Bible right. And Jesus sure confused us by saying what he said here. And in all these other cases too. He says, do you believe that I'm able to do this? Of course God's able, but that's not the question. Do you believe? That's the question. Amen? Does faith matter? Yes, it does. And they said, "Yes, Lord." Hallelujah. Somebody. Then he touched their eyes and said to them, "According to your faith, let it be to you." Message translation says, "Become what you believe." I love that. That's good. But notice on the lips of Jesus now. How is it going to be to you and me? Good question. What Jesus said was, "According to your faith, so let it be to you." Man, that's pretty strong, isn't it? So if I don't believe, I don't receive.
That's right. Amen.
It's not going to be to me if I don't believe. But it will be to me according to my faith, or if I do believe. Now, do you believe he's able to do this? That's good. That's a start. That's faith. That's getting in there and making it personal. Amen?
Yes.
And when you make it personal and you approach God personally in faith, then it will be to you according to your faith. Just whatever God wants? No. It's whatever you want.
That's right.
You say, well, that sounds selfish. That just doesn't sound right. Well, I didn't write it. Let's think about this a moment. Jesus is the one that said, "Do you believe I'm able to do this?" Jesus is the one that said, "According to your faith, so be it to you." He's the one that said to the woman with the issue of blood, "Your faith hath made you whole." And to the Jairus, "Fear not, only believe." And when he saw, the Bible tells us when he saw the man let down through the roof, he saw their faith. He saw their faith. He didn't just see an opportunity for him to show his glory or his power, he saw their faith. He didn't just see a need that he was going to meet, he saw their faith. There's a lot of needs that Jesus saw that he didn't get to meet. But when he saw faith, man, he met some needs then. Because that changed everything. When someone came in faith, it changed everything. In fact, if I have time, we'll go over this. There are some instances where Jesus couldn't do anything because they wouldn't believe. He saw a need, but he saw needs that were going to stay needs, and he wasn't going to be able to meet them because they didn't believe. Wow, that's pretty strong. But I mean, that's what the Scripture says. So, Matthew, while we're in Matthew, turn over to 15th chapter. This is this Canaanite woman. The Mark's account talks calls her the Syrophoenician woman. Mark the 7th chapter talks about, but I'm in Matthew 15. We went over this instance where this woman had a demon-possessed daughter and came to Jesus to get deliverance. And she was not a Jew. She was not part of the kingdom that Jesus originally had come to. Jesus came to the Jews until he rose from the dead, really. He didn't preach much to the Gentiles. But it's interesting that this woman got a miracle. And you remember also the centurion, Matthew 8th chapter? He got a miracle for his servant because of his faith. Jesus even said to him, he says, I hadn't found this kind of faith, this great faith in all of Israel.
Amen.
Here's a man that's not even part of Israel, and he comes up and he's got more faith than anybody in Israel, and I hadn't found this kind of faith in all Israel. And he told him, he said, as you believe, so be it done unto you. And his servant was healed the self same hour. That's Matthew the 8th chapter. But there again, we didn't even go over that instance. We didn't even teach that one in this series. But even there you see Jesus telling the man that his faith determined the outcome. As you believe, so be it unto you. And he even said, I hadn't found this great a faith, no, not in all Israel. And all the man said was, you just speak the word and my servant will be healed. I love that. Of course, that's a whole great teaching on authority there. But I mean, it boils down to this. Jesus, you just say the word and my servant will be healed. Now, when we get to that point, see, we'll get a healing too. We'll get a miracle too. Just find the word. You find it in here. And then you put your faith in it and you connect with it and you will get your miracle and you'll get your healing.
Right.
Amen? According to what Jesus said. So this Syrophoenician woman just kept coming to Jesus. Jesus actually turned her away a couple of times. He ignored her first. Then he said, well, I didn't come to the Gentiles. I've just come to the house of Israel. And then she came again. And then he again said, it's not even right that I would take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. Called her a dog. The whole Gentile world was called dogs by the Jews. And she said, truth, Lord. Because she didn't quit now. Now think about this. She started hollering out, and he ignored her, is what it says. She started hollering some more. His disciples came and says, get rid of this woman. And he finally said, well, I didn't come to the Gentiles. I came to the Jews. She comes again. Now get this. Comes again. And he says, hey, I wasn't sent to the dogs, but to the lost sheep of Israel. And she comes again. Now that's passionate faith. That's determination. No, we're not leaving. No, sir. We're not going to leave until we get this miracle. It even looks like sometimes I'm not going to get it, but I know I will. I know God. He's going to give this to me. Hello. I mean, how many times we pray, we don't feel anything. Or we don't sense anything. Or it doesn't look any better the next day or whatever. Do you quit then? No, you don't quit. Faith does not quit. Faith does not give up. Faith does not take no for an answer when the answer in the Bible is yes. Now, I don't understand all this interaction. I think it's very confusing to me sometimes when I read this. I'm thinking, why did Jesus do that? I don't know. We can speculate. We can all become psychiatrists and psychologists and try to, you know, say, well, he was working with her, messing with her mind and blah, 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 trying to get her to a point. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. But I know this. She didn't quit.
That's right.
Whatever the case, she didn't quit. She kept coming.
Amen.
And he said, wow. She finally said, well, truth, Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs off the table.
Yeah.
Which that alone is an awesome teaching. Just a crumb is all you need to get healed.
Yeah.
You don't need a whole lot. You don't need the whole loaf. Just one crumb off God's table will heal you and deliver you. But anyway, because of that saying, 28th verse, then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Man, what is it that you want from God? What is it that you desire? What is it that you desire? Think about that. Not just need, desire. If it's in the Bible and it's a promise and you desire it, you know what? Faith will get it for you. Faith in God will make the difference. Does faith matter? Well, my goodness, it definitely mattered in this case. It was this woman's faith that would not quit. that will not turn around and walk away without her deliverance, the deliverance for her daughter. And she got it. Hallelujah. In fact, notice this in the ninth chapter, Mark the ninth chapter. We referred to this. In fact, actually, we read this the other night. There was a man that had a demon-possessed son. This woman had a demon-possessed daughter, and she just kept coming. Well, this man had a demon-possessed son and went to his disciples and couldn't get a deliverance. And Jesus comes off the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John. He comes up to Jesus and says, look, I came to your disciples, and they couldn't help me, and they couldn't cast this thing out. If you can do anything, have mercy on me and help me. I love this story because really, you'd think, oh man, you poor thing. Jesus pat him on the back and help him out. Jesus actually got on his case for saying that. What do you mean if I can do anything? What do you mean if I have mercy? If I can do anything? No. And we often quote this verse, but we don't always put it in context. Jesus was rebuking this man. And here's what he said in the 23rd verse. Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Back up verse 4 there. And often he throws him into the fire, 22nd verse, throws them both into the fire and into the water, destroy them. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said, if you can believe. Get it? Does faith matter? Does your faith matter? You better believe it does. Jesus was saying, no, I'm not the problem here, and I'm not holding this back. You got to get in. If you get in faith here, I can do this. Because if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. How's your faith level? That's a good question, amen. Where are you concerning the situation in your life or whatever it may be, whatever the need may be, whatever it is you're petitioning God or crying out to God or call on God about? Listen, it matters. In fact, it'll make the difference of whether you receive this answer or not. Where is your faith? What do you believe? Are you determined? Are you passionate? Will you not be denied? Will you not give up? Will you be consistent in confessing God's word and saying it's going to be like God says it's going to be in your life? If you will, you can get your miracle. This man recognized this rebuke and accepted it. In the 24th verse, he says, immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And so he turned it over to him, and of course, the man got his deliverance. Jesus cast the devil out of this son of his. But what was holding this back? We often think about the disciples. Now, obviously the disciples, you know, maybe they weren't where they're supposed to be, wherever the case was. But I read into this man himself wasn't where he's supposed to be. It seems to me, and I'm not trying to make it say something it doesn't say, I think that's the context of it, that if those disciples had been in faith, the man wasn't. And Jesus got the man right, and when he got the man right, he got his miracle. Yeah. Jesus put the emphasis back on that man's faith. That man had all of his feelers out for anybody else, and it was everybody else's fault whether it's going to happen or not. His disciples couldn't do it. Now, Lord, maybe you can do something. No, whoa, wait a minute. If you can believe, that's what Jesus said.
That's right.
He put it right back on the man. And I believe it's got to get back on us too. Amen.
Amen.
I believe the monkey, we need to get the monkey off God's back, put it on ours.
Yeah.
And then get in faith and get the monkey off ours. That makes sense. Does your faith matter? Yeah, I think it does. It sure appears that it does here. Amen? Now, while we're at Mark, look at the 10th chapter. Now, we're just going through these instances that we took whole sessions on. You know, so this is actually 5 weeks of teaching that I'm just hitting the main points here. In the 10th chapter, this is old blind Bartimaeus. Remember old blind Bartimaeus came to Jesus, cried out to Jesus, and you know, would not be quiet when they told him to be quiet. Disciples told him to be quiet, and he wouldn't do it. He cried out all the more, a great deal more, the Bible says. Son of David, have mercy on me. And then Jesus finally commands him to come, 49th verse. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. and throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Man, that's the question of the ages, I guess you could say. I think your whole destiny and future hangs on that question. The question is not what God wants to do for you. That's a settled matter. It's in the Word. You can find it. You can read it for yourself. The question is, what do you want God? The question is not, are you with me? Well, what does God want? Well, no, that's not the question. We know what God wants. It's right here. It says it right here. The question is, what do you want? We often say this, and I understand the context of it, and I think there's a place for that. I want to know what God wants me to do for Him. I do. I want to make sure I'm doing what He wants me to do. But when we're talking about a personal need in my life, the question is not that. The question is, what do I want Him to do for me? What is it that you want me to do for you? That's what Jesus is asking. Well, whatever. That's the wrong answer.
Amen.
You got to be specific here. He was wanting specific answers. Did Jesus not know? Of course he knew, but he needed them to say it. In this case, blind Bartimaeus, he said, "What is it that you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabboni," or teacher, "that I might receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." Man, goodness gracious. Can y'all see a pattern here?
Yes.
Every case we've gone, your faith has made you well. Yes. Be it unto you as you have believed. If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. We don't just go through life and just whatever happens, happens. No, your faith matters. My faith matters. What I believe makes all the difference. The question is not, God, what do you want me to do for you? That is a question, and I agree with that. I understand that question. But when it comes to a miracle, and it comes to a healing, and it comes to getting an answer to a prayer, the question is, what do you want God to do for you? Well, I don't know if God really wants... Well, He said so. He wants you to be healed. He bore stripes that you might be healed. He died on the cross and rose again that you might be saved. Do you want to be saved? Do you want to be healed? You remember the man at the pool of Bethesda in John 5th chapter? He's laying down there by that pool, and every once in a while an angel would come down and trouble the water. And whoever stepped in first to the water after it was troubled was healed of whatever ailment they had. And Jesus walked up and saw the man and says, "Hey, you know what's going on?" He says, "Somebody steps in before me every time. They trouble the water and somebody gets in there for..." And Jesus asked him, he says, "Do you want to be well?" What kind of question is that? Of course he wants to be. Wouldn't you think so? No, actually, he was probably building up a whole lifetime of excuses for not ever achieving, not ever being, not ever becoming what God wanted him to be. Blaming and shifting blame and becoming a victim. And see, the question really is, do you want to be whole? That's the question. If you do, say it. If you do, pray it.
Amen.
Amen. If you do, get in faith and stand on the Word of God. Now this principle, I'm telling you, this is, just to give you an example, look at Matthew 13. I'll mention this, but let's turn there. Got a few more verses to get to. Some of these verses you're going to recognize. I'm just kind of putting them all together. I don't know how you could, maybe if you found one verse and you might have a little trouble with it, but when you find one verse after another verse after another verse after another verse, and not just a verse saying something, but an example of it happening.
Amen.
Man, you got something real solid there. You know what I mean? You're not talking about one scripture. The Bible says, "Let everything be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses." Well, we're not talking two or three witnesses. We're talking several witnesses here. Principle, yes, and example. Not just theory, not just abstract concept, not just an ideal principle out here somewhere in the ethereal realm. Just to be real ascetic here. But a solid, concrete example of a man being healed, of a woman being healed, of a woman getting her daughter delivered, of a man getting his son delivered, of a, of a blind men's eyes opening up, of a man getting his daughter raised from the dead. Solid, concrete examples to go along with these principles. Man, it's pretty solid doctrine, really, when you think about it. You'd have to do a lot to rip this out, tear this out, take this out, relegate this to some other time, and you'd really have to do a lot of shifting and changing and tearing and ripping. And are you with me? In fact, if you could do that, you could probably start attacking salvation and start saying we can't be saved anymore. Because you've got as many, in some cases, maybe even more, these scriptures than you do just on how to be saved. Now listen, I don't say that sacrilegiously. I'm just telling you that's the way it is. You have case after case after case after case of healing and miracles, signs and wonders. And you have some scriptures on how to be saved and some examples on how to be saved. Thank God. Plenty of them to stand on it and be born again. But I'd submit to you, you probably got a whole lot more on healing and miracles, signs and wonders than you do just the subject of being born again. In fact, the term born again is not used that many times in the Bible. In the third chapter of John and also 1 John the fifth chapter, being born of God. And then born of God in John the first chapter. But I think you would find the word healing and heal a lot more than that. And that's a solid doctrine. Are you with me? Okay, Matthew 13 notes this. He went to his own hometown. They didn't receive him because they looked at him in the natural, thought of him as carpenter's son, his mother Mary, and his brother James, Joseph, Simon, Judas, his sisters. They were offended at him, 57th verse, 13th chapter. But Jesus said to them, a prophet's not without honor except in his own country and his own house. Now, he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Woo! I think King James says he could do no mighty work there. Is that what King James says? Don't anybody have King James? I'm reading New King James. Anybody King James? Anybody got a King James? Just say could not. Could do no mighty work there.
No, it says he did not.
He did not? Okay. But it's interesting, he did not do mighty works there because. Well, why in the world wouldn't Jesus do something there? Huh? Because of their unbelief. Because what? Are you telling me because they didn't believe God didn't move? God do whatever he wants to. Wait a minute. He did not. And he will not if we don't believe. Well, that's like saying God will save you if you don't believe. God won't save you if you don't believe. You have to call on Jesus to be saved. Well, he'll just do it anyway. No, he can't. He will not do it. Everybody say he will not. Okay. And it says the reason, we know the reason. You don't have to speculate. We don't have to, you know, get in here and try to speculate. No, it tells us. It tells us exactly why he didn't do it. It says he did not do mighty works there because of their unbelief. Wow. Does your faith matter? Well, according to the Bible, it does. Amen. Okay, while we're in Matthew, look at this. Matthew 21. Here's a verse you'll recognize. But think about it in context of all that we've been teaching on here. Matthew 21. Notice what it says in the 22nd verse. Whatever things you ask in prayer believing, you will receive. This is Jesus speaking now. And he said, whatever you ask in prayer believing, here's the principle now. We looked at example after example after example. Now we're looking at a principle. Whatever you ask in prayer believing, you will receive. Man, you got to love that. Because my faith matters. When I pray, I need to believe when I pray. Amen? Because that's going to make the difference. It's going to be unto me according to my faith. It is going to be my faith that makes me whole.
That's right. That's right.
Isn't that right? It's going to be as I believe that it comes to pass. Because whatever I ask in prayer, believing, I will receive. You know, it's often been said, I've heard people say this, and it's just as untrue as it can be. Prayer makes faith work. No, actually, faith makes prayer work. But you can pray and pray and pray. If you don't pray in faith, it's not going to work. It's not going to do you any good. You have to believe when you pray. He that comes to God, Hebrews 11:6 tells us this, without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Amen? So it's faith that makes prayer work. It's faith that pleases God. Now, Mark 11. Now you see, when Jesus threw this out, this verse out, it was in the context of all these miracles that he'd already done. Y'all see what I'm saying? I mean, in fact, that 21st chapter of Matthew, all those miracles that happened in Matthew, he already did. And when he said that, all things you ask in prayer, believing you shall receive, man, they got on that. They understood exactly what he was talking about. He just got through telling them over and over and over, their faith made them well according to their faith, so be it unto them. And they saw the example of it with the teaching. I love that, to have an example with the teaching. And here in Mark 11, now think about this, Mark 11, this is after Mark 10. How deep is that, huh? Mark 10 is where Bartimaeus got healed.
Right.
Hey, and Mark 5, the one with the issue of blood, and Jairus' daughter's raised from death. Hey, and Mark 2, where the man let down through the roof was. And Mark 7, which we didn't go, we gave Matthew's account, but Mark 7 talks about the Syrophoenician woman, the Canaanite woman, her daughter that was delivered. And Mark 9, remember? Mark 9 is where the man had the son demon-possessed and got delivered. If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Well, now, this is the context of him saying this. After all that, he says in the 11th chapter of Mark, the 24th verse, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them.
Amen.
Wow. Believe that you receive them when? When you pray.
Amen.
When you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. The manifestation will come later. It may not happen in the natural immediately, but you believe you receive when you pray. You believe you receive, and you shall have them. And he wasn't just talking, you know, in the air. He wasn't giving abstract, you know, concepts. He'd already proven this over and over and over. And he'd already repeated this over and over and over to one person after another person after another person. Your faith made you whole. Be it unto you according to your faith. Do you believe I'm able to do this? And he turns around and gives them the principle. Man, I love that. And so you have to read that really in the context of all that Jesus did. All that he did backed up what he said. And my faith matters. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask, whether you believe or not. No. Whatever you things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Now, James 1st chapter. Y'all stay with me. I'll wrap this up. It's helping you?
Yes, sir.
This is basic faith. There's nothing deep about this. I think we try to make things too complicated and my goodness, we go all over the map, you know. And what we're wanting is right here. It's right here. It's right in front of our eyes. It's not deep. It's not complicated. It's real simple. It's just exactly what it says. And I mean, he hammered it in. He hammered it in with case after case after case. How you can read through there and miss that, it just testifies to the power of deception. I'm telling you, the devil is alive and well on planet Earth. He really is. He's deceiving. He's blinding. I mean, we'll read through that and miss the whole point. Think it's a great story. We'll try to over-spiritualize the thing and miss the point. That if that blind man got healed, you can get healed too. If that woman got healed, you can get healed too. If that man got help for his son, you can get help for your son. If that woman got help for her daughter, you can get help for your daughter. If that man walked up off that bed, you can walk up off your bed in Jesus' name. What he did for one, he'll do for another. If you'll believe, you'll receive. Your faith matters. How many times has he got to say it? How many ways has he got to prove it? And yet we still struggle with these things. We struggle with a simple, 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 simple doctrine. It couldn't be any simpler. It couldn't be any plainer. In fact, it is so redundant and repetitive, it's almost like being in kindergarten when you think about it. I mean, in these same stories in Mark are repeated over in Matthew, and then the same stories over in Luke. And you hear it over and over, and Sunday in and Sunday out, and week in and week out, and month in and month, year in, year out, and they miss it. Oh, come on. We've got to get back to basics here. What's right before our eyes. It's almost like looking out the window at a beautiful garden or yard and completely missing the fact that there's a window right there. or reading with our glasses and forget there's glasses right there. The things that are right before our eyes sometimes we miss. Woo! And this is right in our face. James 1st chapter knows this. Here's talking about wisdom, but the principle is still here. And I'll have to wrap this up. Now, we won't turn to it, but you know James 5, what it says there in the 14th verse. It says, is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. What will save the sick?
Faith.
The prayer of what?
Faith.
Faith will save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he's committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. 16th verse says, confess your faults one to another. Pray ye one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The prayer of faith will save the sick. It didn't just say prayer to God would save the sick. The petition we made to Him will save the sick. And in a general sense, that's true. But if you want to break it down, make it very specific, and God always does that. I love that. He tells us the prayer of faith will save the sick. Because if we don't go, we go to God and we don't believe, it's not going to save us. And the oil's not going to heal us. And just using the name's not going to do it either if you don't believe. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they'll cast out devils, they'll lay hands on sick and they shall recover. But not if they don't believe. Okay, James, first chapter. Let's wrap it up. Just not enough time in the day, is there? Okay. Your faith matters. Now, fifth verse, you know this verse, you could quote it. I've used this verse almost every day. I mean, I pray for wisdom on a regular basis. I do, every time I get up, I realize I need a little more of it. But you know what? God always gives it to me. And if there's, I guess more than any prayer I've ever prayed in all my life, consistently over and over and over, is probably the prayer for wisdom. It really is. I get up and say, God, give me wisdom today. Give me direction today. Lead me, guide me. Cause your word to come alive to me. Help me prioritize my life today and show me what you'd have me to do. Anoint what I'm doing today. And, you know, we pray that in office every day with everyone in office. We pray that God will keep before our eyes exactly why we do what we do. We thank Him that we're honored to be a part of what He's doing, that He allows us to be a part of the process, that we get to be a part of people getting saved. And that's why we do what we do. Whether we're working on the computer, whether we're answering a phone, whether we're typing, whether we're reading, or whether we're working out in the warehouse, whatever we do it for people to get saved. Let us never lose sight of why we do what we do.
Amen. That's good.
People to get healed and filled with the Holy Ghost. We say that. We pray that every morning. Every day we pray that. But wisdom is in that prayer. We always pray for wisdom, and it's based on this. It says, if any lack wisdom, let them ask of God, who gives to all men liberally without reproach, and it will be given. Next verse. But let him ask in faith. But let him ask in faith. You can't just pray for wisdom and then end the prayer and say, God, I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, wait a minute. You just prayed for wisdom. Thank Him that you will know what. Thank Him that He's given you wisdom. But don't just end the prayer in Jesus' name and say, God, I'm just so confused. I don't know what I'm going to do today. You just prayed for wisdom. Start thanking Him for it. Yeah, but I don't. Well, don't go by what you don't know. Go by what you do know. Here's what we do know. God said, if I ask wisdom, you give it to me.
That's right.
I do know that. So in the name of Jesus, I got wisdom. What are you going to do? Well, in the name of Jesus, I got wisdom. I believe God is guiding me and leading me today. Okay. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man think or suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Did y'all get that? He just got through saying he's going to give this to me freely and liberally if I ask in faith. Then he's turned around and says, I'm not going to get anything if I don't believe. If I don't ask in faith. So does faith matter?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a matter of whether you get your prayer answered or not.
Amen.
It's a matter of whether you're going to get healed or not. It's a matter of whether you're going to get your miracle or not. And by the way, this is not some hard-nosed, redneck teaching on faith. This is just what the Bible teaches.
Amen.
I mean, because people come in and say, well, how cruel, Pastor, for you to say that. Well, I didn't say that. God said that. And we're reading the Scripture here. It's Jesus that challenged our faith. And here in James, after the resurrection now, here in the new covenant, he's telling us that if we don't believe, don't think that we're going to receive anything from the Lord. Like a wave tossed through and fro, seventh verse, let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let's do not be unstable about this. If we're going to pray, let's believe, and let's don't back off till we get our miracle.
Amen.
Let's don't be double-minded. Let's take the roof off. Let's don't quit till we get there. Let's press through the crowd if we have to. Let's go right on in the house if we have to. Let's holler and even holler louder if people try to stop us. But let's don't quit. Let's be single-minded. Let's have a passionate faith because our faith matters.
That's right.
It matters whether we're going to get this miracle or not. Amen.